Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're glad you're here with us tonight, and I'm going to remind you of our call-in number, 323-203-0815. I want to start out by saying thank you to the One Institute for bringing us here to be with you each and every week. Very exciting stuff. We hope you're going to be calling in, and right now we are just going to say, Dr. Allen, you are live on the air.
I know I'm live, and I know I'm on the air. I'm ready to serve.
Awesome. Hey, listen, I heard that you've been working on the class that's going to happen on Saturday. What one is that?
It's Raising Your Self-Esteem.
Well, I think almost everybody on the planet could use a little help with that. Dr. Allen, talk to me about... Talk to me about what goes on in that class.
Well, what we've done is the Myers-Briggs temperament test, which is still valid. Companies use it to evaluate temperament so they can see who works together with who best. And so that was given to my students, six of them, very intimate, small group. They received the test. They scored it, and Susie sent back the score and a brief synopsis of the temperament style, major points, very small. But when they come to class, I'm going to ask the class, six people, who here is a career man or woman? And who is a man or woman with a career or a job on the side? So we're going to sort out the yins from the yangs. And then each individual person, I know I have two men, and therefore there's either four women or more men, but there's going to be a mix of men and women. And they're going to then sit in the hot seat. And I have a large David Kiersey, Marilyn Bates statement about, in detail, the temperament that one of 16 temperaments that Myers and Briggs, which was a mother and daughter team, who did a synopsis of Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud in what they believed our ego received. Thinking, intuition, sensing and feeling. And then Carl Jung expanded it to introvert and extrovert, judge and perceiving. So with that in mind, I'm going to take them through diagrams, and they are going to resonate off of the personality characteristics of the temperament that the students found that they were based on their test. So they're going to compare what needs to be advanced in their life. Also going to give them, pardon?
That's brilliant.
And then I'm also going to give them a small happiness. More countries and cities are doing happiness evaluations of citizens. And I'm going to do it as well. I'm also giving wellness goals, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, that the students can set before them to advance their temperamental situation. And last but not least, grateful to Piercy and Bates, I'm going to show in diagrammatic form how sensate women feel their intuition, not their intuition, their instincts, while men, career people, they evaluate their thinking and their intuition.
That's going to be an
time. It's just, I'm telling you, I've worked on this class. This will be the first time I've given it, but a picture is worth a thousand words. And my diagrams are pictures.
Yes.
And I've, just as I have summarized my theoretical foundation and my tools in the new book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, I now have created a class on how we can raise our self-esteem in the sensate, feeling, thinking, judgment, ego development that will help us be androgynous and more skilled.
That's amazing.
I'm so happy.
It sounds wonderful, and I want to remind everybody, if you're interested in these classes, which I don't know how you couldn't be, you go to wantistore.com. There you're going to find when the classes are available and what classes are upcoming. So if you go and check that out, www.wantistore.com. And for other information, including getting advance notice of things by signing up for our newsletter, you're going to go to www.drpatallen.com. Our switchboard is telling me we have calls coming in. Dr. Allen, are you ready for calls?
Let's go for it.
Perfect. I want to also remind everybody, if you call in and you don't get through, our switchboard will be calling you back. You may not recognize the number, and if you don't, please remember to answer the phone. It's probably us, and we definitely want to talk to you. So make sure you do that. And we have a caller on. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello there.
Hi. I'm actually have a little bit of a broken heart right now. I've been ghosted. And it came out of nowhere, just literally out of the blue.
What it did was, it came out of non-communication.
Yeah.
Someone, whoever he was, did not negotiate or talk to you about his idea of terminating because he was afraid to.
Yeah, he didn't communicate anything at all.
But he was dwelling on it and creating it within.
Yeah. Well,
that's rumination.
Mm-hmm.
Feel thing. It takes about 8 weeks for a human being to ruminate into a major decision.
Yeah.
So he
ruminated. Well, this one did it in a day.
He did it what?
No, in a day.
No,
because
I don't
it
think
happened,
so.
Well, it happened over Thanksgiving, and the weekend prior, we had a really wonderful time together. He had followed up very, you know, attentively, lovingly. We had been, you know, communicating all week. And then the day before Thanksgiving, I was driving to go see my family, and he texted me, you know, some sweet, you know, words about how wonderful it would be to wake up together, this and that. And Then that evening, he texted me again, and he didn't reply when I responded back. And on Thanksgiving, his texts were very dry, like a lot more dry than they ever were. Like just it was like I could tell
he
that there was a difference in
ghosting. He was ghosting his feelings. He was up in his head making an intellectual, intuitive decision about dumping you. That doesn't mean that in 8 weeks he won't come back and say, I made a mistake. Are you willing to not judge him for ruminating into a good or bad decision?
Absolutely. I'm prepared for the 8 weeks. I do have a question, though, because I feel
What's
like...
that?
I know something that might have gone wrong is right before our last rendezvous, which was really special and wonderful, he had dropped off. And he had dropped communication for about 4 days, which was rare.
That's when he was starting to exhibit his rumination.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
That was about 2 weeks ago. And he communicated with me because I broke down and I just said, did you find a girlfriend? Because we met on a dating app. And he replied back right away. He said, no, not at all. It's just that you weren't reaching out to me ever, and it felt very one-sided. And I said, oh, well, you know, I kind of tend not to do that. And so he communicated to me that he wanted me to reach out more. He wanted me to be more proactive.
Masculine.
And he said it even.
Mother.
What's that? Yeah.
He wanted you to mother him more. How old a man is he?
He's 40. I'm 42.
All right. So you're a little early for him wanting to fade into femininity. I've got news for you. If he wants to be cherished, he told you, I want to be cherished.
But then when I did let down my guard a little bit, and I didn't ask him for anything, but like, I sent him a website link for human design we had talked about, and he had asked me to send him the link, so I sent him that link the following day without waiting for him to reach out. I sent him a photo on Thanksgiving of me and my family without waiting for him to reach out, and he replied, but I'm wondering if that was it. Like, he asked for it, but then when I did it, he didn't like it. I don't know.
When he comes back, you can ask him to explain his process.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is he signaled you 2 weeks before he did it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so you're validating my opinion that he wanted to mutate into his feminine receptive mode and you come out and be more giving, protecting, and cherishing him. Now, do you ever want to be the respected giver or not?
Well, I thought about this in this whole process because I do have some masculine tendencies.
That's you ruminating.
Yeah.
So what did you come up with?
Well, I'm comfortable with initiating certain things like activities and, you know, planning stuff, but I like a man who initiates sex, and he was,
but he may not want to
do
that. He may not want to do that.
Yeah.
So he can find out if he's willing to lose you because you won't mother him. Mothering is masculine. It's giving, protecting, cherishing. And he has a right to want to be the feminine energy predominantly.
Yeah.
Maybe his mother didn't mother him well enough. Maybe she mothered him so well he wants a woman to duplicate her. That won't come out until he is courageous enough to come after you to tell you. See, it would have been so nice if he, when he ghosted you, that he told you in words, you know, what was going on. But he already said, I didn't like the one-sidedness. He wanted, okay, are you people, were you in a committed relationship?
No, no. We had talked about, like, sex and what it would take to get there.
No, I don't mean sex.
But
you,
we never did.
Wait a minute.
No.
Sex is
no committed relationship.
Intercourse. Oral, anal, vaginal intercourse. Did you talk about what it would take for you to allow him into your body?
Yes.
Did you tell him it was monogamy, continuity, and a long-term goal that was similar to each other?
Yes, and he said he was looking for long-term, and he said, you know, he wasn't ready, you know, with me to, you know, to do that and wanted to get to know me better, which was fair because we actually only saw each other twice. But the chemistry was absolutely off the charts, amazing, and
except
for both of us.
You didn't give it to him, and he didn't want, he wanted a free taste. You know, when you go to Baskin Robbins, you get that cute little cup with the taste.
Yeah.
He, I think, resented your virtue.
Well, Dr. Allen, that brings me to another question because I'm
struggling
with
how do you feel about the fact he didn't want to give to you? He wanted you to give to him.
I don't feel good about that.
Well, he didn't feel good about you not giving it to him, and so he's temporarily gone, because I'm not going to say he's gone until he's gone 8 weeks.
Okay. So, yes, agreed. My next question should be quick, if it's okay.
Yeah, fine.
Okay, so we did have intimate time together, and we both, you know, ended up naked, and he did give me 2 orgasms without any penile penetration of any orifice whatsoever. It was just bare hands, and I was like, you know, I think because I orgasmed, I fell for this guy. I fell for him. I mean, on many different levels.
You fell for
like
him.
No.
You consummated your feelings. What you did was you were chemically attracted to him pheromonally. That's your chemistry and his chemistry. But you let him give you an orgasm, which was a voluntary, vulnerable thing for you to do, in the way of saying, yes, I'm attracted to you. But you didn't give him intercourse. Men appreciate hugs and kisses and all the pretend stuff, but they want either blowjobs, or they want anal sex, or they want vaginal sex, because that's the way we humans are built. And you didn't give it to him, and he chastised you. But I don't see that you did anything wrong by not giving him free sex. You wanted a commitment.
Yeah. I just feel like for me, it did make me very vulnerable, and, you know, I did really feel because it was so magical and amazing, even though we didn't have intercourse, I felt like I really fell for him, you know, regardless. Like, it didn't matter that.
But you didn't fall all the way. You didn't go all the way. You didn't let him put his penis in your body.
Correct.
And you were punished for it. Now let's see if he can stay away from you.
What's so weird, too, is he followed up. I mean, even that night that happened, he texted me, amazing morning. And then the next couple days, he kept, you know, he kept saying all these wonderful things about us, me, you know, our time together, etc. And then he just, then he disappeared. So it's just really
confusing.
But
he told you didn't give enough. The only thing you didn't give was intercourse.
Correct.
In America, we're having a huge revolution of women who have given too much to men for too little. Remember, men do not marry vaginas.
Right.
They marry virtuous women because virtuous women, he knows, are not giving it to anyone else because he, in his eyes, is the best, and you're not giving it to him. So while you're in pain, which may only be temporary, while you're in pain, he has a bigger decision to make. Can he live his life joyfully without you?
Yeah.
And that is Ben. First time I read Maxwell Maltz's book, Psycho-Cybernetic, somewhere in that book is a sentence that refers to the rumination process of feel thing to make a decision. Do I stay or do I go? So I want to see what he does in the next 8 weeks before I sign him off.
Okay. Will do. Thank you.
Okay,
thanks, caller.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. So that is that's an interesting conversation, Dr. Allen, about that whole thing, that whole ghosting thing.
Well, it's called hide and seek. You know the game of hide and seek.
Oh, I know well.
If I run away, you'll chase me because I'll see how anxious you are about losing me, and I'll get a free you.
Exactly. Exactly.
I call that free wife.
Okay, so let me see here. We have a couple of questions coming in from our social media audience. And it is, I have questions about duty dating. I've duty dated several men after three dates, noting that we're not compatible on some level or there's no chemistry. But I'm a people pleaser. I want to be firm, but I also want to be kind. Now, Dr. Allen, you have a great method for doing that, for basically telling somebody in a kind way that that they're. Could you tell us how that goes, Dr. Allen?
Yes. What it is at the end of the third date, give three shots, especially women. Men know pretty soon if they want sex from you, like within 3 minutes of meeting you. But we women very often get our brain in the way, and what we do is we say, well, I'm not used to his kind of man. I want a different kind of man. Now, I ask women especially to date three times, duty date, which is practicing the tools of dating, flirt with them, date them, let them be sexual affectionately, but not intercourse. And when they ask you out for a fourth date, say to them, I've enjoyed dating you 3 times, but I don't have the right feelings romantically to lead you on or to use you as a social, you know, giver. So if you date me, you'll be dating a friend. Are you there?
Yeah, that sounds awesome. We have another call coming in, I think, Dr. Allen.
I see. But do you understand what I said?
Oh, yes, I totally understand.
Okay.
That makes total sense. And I think you're right. I think that you, there's no necessary reason to be cruel when you're telling somebody. It's just, I don't have
just
those kind of feelings.
Tell the scientific truth. I teach virtue through science.
Oh, caller on. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, great. I'm so excited. Thank you for taking my call.
Welcome.
I just had a question about, as a man dating me for like a few months now, I guess August, September, October, and I just wondered, well, he's, you know, a bit older than me, and he doesn't, I know you would agree with this, but he doesn't want us to meet each other's kids yet. And, you know,
that's right.
Meeting
kids is so hard on the kids if you don't end up married. They lose another family. I don't want people to bring their kids into playing house situations. Meet at parties, meet at Disneyland, meet where there's a bunch of people with kids that you can intermingle without intimacy. So in that particular case, yeah, falling in love with the person's kids is not fun if you're not falling in love with the parents.
Mm-hmm. So you mean it is okay to do something in a group
absolutely
format?
Absolutely. Go to a picnic, whatever it is. Just don't play house.
Yeah. But like if you go to a group thing, is it okay if you're boyfriend and girlfriend, or are you just saying you're friends?
No. What are you saying? I mean, it depends on what you're telling the kids. What are you?
I have told my kids I have a boyfriend, but they don't really know him. They haven't met him.
Do you get to call him a boyfriend? Has he asked to be a boyfriend?
Yeah, he says that. You know, he says it in Spanish.
And are you his girlfriend?
Yes. He gave me a promise ring, too.
And do you want to start building a family with him?
Yes, I would like to. I mean, not have more kids, but, you know, for our family to eventually get to know each other. But I don't want to have any more kids.
And you've got to know that with him. Behind the scenes, have you negotiated the goals and objectives for your relationship with him? How far do you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to get married.
You want to marry him?
Yeah, I mean,
qualify as a candidate.
Yes.
Then, have you had intercourse with him?
Yes.
Then you are already married physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like as a woman.
Now the next step is introducing him to your kids to start building a family. Does he have kids?
Yeah, he has 3.
And you have what?
I have 3.
So are you prepared to start working towards an engagement within the next few months, 3 months, no more? Do you want to play house?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're saying not to play house, right?
What?
You said not to play house, right? Just to work toward engagement.
No, you have to be engaged to me for me if you want to live in the same house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Now, how do I
but
move
you
from
sound,
that?
You sound committed. He agrees. That's the beginning of playing house.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wasn't sure what happens. Like, I didn't want to get stuck in, like, the free wife role or, you know, just the person that he meets.
Well, you're supposed to decide the compatibility factor, whether you can play house with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it seems like he's, like, a little afraid.
And that means you negotiate time, I, we, and us. Space, when do we stay together, when do we go apart, money, how do we pay for this, and play, non-sexual and sexual. You start negotiating boundaries.
Now, how do I bring that up?
Well, you bring it up when you keep having sex with them, because that's you playing house off campus without the kids. Do you want to start playing house with the kids?
Yes, I'd like to. You know, just to be able to.
Does he?
Know me. Well, he's a little. Yeah, he said he's a little nervous about meeting kids or having.
Then,
he said he did it in the past.
He's not ready to mix the kids.
Yeah.
So, would you consider being his girlfriend for a while until he feels safe enough to introduce the kids?
Yes, I could do
all
that.
All right. Do you happen to know how long?
I'm not sure. Yeah, because it definitely limits our time together. We always have to keep the kids separate.
Understand that.
You know, a lot of kids stuff.
I understand that. That's the point. Compatibility for time, space, money, and play.
Yeah, because we can only see each other like once a week or something if we, you know, if we don't allow any kid involvement. So, makes it a lot harder. But yeah, maybe like a few months and then see. Or
it is not my. I'm not a moralist. I'm a therapist. You have met my criteria. You both agree to be monogamous, continuous, and long term. You both have kids, and you're asking me for a blessing on playing house and mixing kids, six kids, and starting to build a family, which will within 6 months, no longer than a year, be a legal process of marriage. So that has to be negotiated with him without the kids until you get an agreement that fits the kids and you.
Okay, and then are these things I bring up, like, you know, in some respectful way of asking him?
You make an appointment. Honey, I want to talk to you about our future plans. Is it convenient for you to listen and talk to me about it? And when? Hopefully today or soon. You make an appointment. Then you tell him, you have every right not to mix the kids until you're comfortable with me and the kids. And then you decide how long you're going to stay this way. I can do this until Christmas or the first week, whatever.
Okay.
It's setting boundaries.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can do this until such a date, certain date.
Yes. That's right. But it better not be done resentfully, because that's going to burn down the whole deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to push too much. But I did want to say how I feel about it. I just didn't want to go on and on for, you know, months or years just being like...
You'll know what would be the guesstimated termination of playing house? How long do you want to do it?
You mean without kids?
No, playing house with kids.
Before marriage, you mean?
Yes.
I guess just like, well, I know you said to know them at least a year. So, you know, maybe like six to eight months or something.
Well, how long have you known them now?
Well, since August. So I guess August, September, October, November, like 4 months.
Okay, you just finished the perfect period. You're entering the imperfect period of how do we play house.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. That things are shifting a little bit.
And that's so two much. Or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into the how are we doing? That's the third phase. That's where you negotiate the boundaries to see if he's 51 and he sees if you're 51% valuable according to his goals for himself.
Okay. And usually it's like, I guess it could be either person who brings it up, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Or it's one person bringing it up and the other one saying no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, what do I do? I guess you just accept or reject it, right? If I ask them about this. That's exactly right.
There's accept, reject, don't tolerate. Don't tolerate. That's resentment building.
Yeah. Because it's strange, but sometimes it feels like, you know, if we don't do, you know, any kid stuff together, I start to feel like I'm with a married man almost, like, you know, like you're hidden from birthday.
I got news for you. Change the word married to family man.
Okay.
He does not want to put his kids in danger of emotional damage by being prematurely playing house.
Yeah. And I tend to want to go there probably too quickly and make it all just family together time.
Women tend to go from A to Z. Men tend to go from A to B.
Yeah, he wants to go on a trip next month, so maybe that's a good way to see how compatible we are if we never spent that much time together, like overnight.
That's right. You're in a committed relationship. I have nothing to say about that. Going on a trip is not moving in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're taking a step forward.
Yeah, it's definitely making me nervous for some reason to do that. Even though I'm like excited to go on a trip, but it also makes me nervous.
He's nervous now.
Yeah. And we have to get like better like birth control because I don't want to end up being pregnant, you know.
I got it. You've got things to do. But do you want to be respected or cherished by him? Are you the leader or the follower?
Yeah, I want to be cherished.
Well, then follow him. He's not asking for anything immoral, unethical, or illegal. He's asking that you respect his wishes to protect his children from another family breaking up.
But just eventually I can have that talk with him, like you said, to ask him for an appointment and say that I'm willing to continue this for, you know, a few months.
What? Yes, you can bring it up.
Mm-hmm. Just ask him what he thinks about it. Do I say, like, I would feel really, you know, happy to be able to meet each other's families, and what do you think about that?
Yes.
Great. That's really good. And I can work on not going from A to Z too quickly.
Yeah.
See if we really are compatible. Okay, I appreciate it so much, Pat.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks, caller.
Okay, thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye. So, almost like the whole premature monogamy that we've talked about on several occasions, Dr. Allen.
Yes.
And then again, we've also discussed exposing the children early in a relationship as often.
Hello?
Hi, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Oh, hi. Hey, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
How are you?
What can we do for you?
I have a question for you. A man has been, I've talked to you about him before. A man's been dating me for about 6 months. We're not exclusive.
Ooh, that's two
but we're not,
cycles.
We're,
perfect, imperfect.
But we're not exclusive.
Starting to want to negotiate?
Well, let me tell you, we're not exclusive. He was married for 25 years, so he's been divorced for almost two. And I'm just wondering how long I should hang in there because I really like him. I'm not having intercourse with him, but how long do I just hang on, you know? And
as
I don't know what to
do. As long as you feel like it, you follow your instinct.
Okay.
You have more neurotransmitters in your guts than your brain. And neurotransmitters, dopamine, happy, norepinephrine, sad, and serotonin, tranquil, good night's sleep, ruminating well, making decisions carefully. Those are neurotransmitters. They facilitate the energy of thinking. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, for they become habits. Beware of your habits, become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, doctor's office being healthy, and in every single relationship of love especially, and of sexual love especially. So what you're doing is you're starting to decide what you want and what you don't want. Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. Men get what they want when they have the chutzpah to ask for it.
I know I want to be married, and I really enjoy him. So
no, you've had sex with this gentleman, right?
I told you, twice, and each time I talked to you and basically apologized and said that wasn't going to happen again. And it isn't going to happen again because I have this dream for myself that I want to be married, and so I don't want to be a free wife.
Free wife, that's right.
Yeah, I do not want to be that.
Finding you're having difficulty saying no?
No, ever since I saw you for a One Institute workshop. And you really helped me get really clear on the fact that to hold on to my dream, regardless of what somebody else, like he or somebody else would want, it's really what I want for me.
I love that. Oh, you voted yourself into high self-esteem individuality. You're an I. Therefore,
you really
can be a we. Therefore, you can be an us with family.
Yes, you helped me, I got to say. But I have a question, another question, and that is, we're not exclusive, so he does take me out for dinners and, you know, he's very generous. He always pays. He insists on paying. So is it okay for me to make him dinner or is should I just, until we're exclusive, should I wait? I don't know what to do as far as that goes.
You're not his girlfriend.
No,
but
I'm not. I'm not. You're right.
Therefore, he's courting you. Therefore, if you're going to make it neutral, you give back. Remember, a lady early on in this show was saying that her man said, I do all the giving. Well, what you're doing is you're treating him like a committed boyfriend. And in that case, it's 2-1. If he gives twice something of value emotionally, you give him back one.
Okay, but should I do that given that he's not my boyfriend?
Well, what you're doing what mistresses do on the side of a marriage.
I don't want to
be a mistress with an unmarried man. What?
I don't want to be a mistress. I don't want to act like a mistress.
Then may I suggest you don't give? You don't give.
Okay.
He's courting you.
Yes, this is what I need to hear from you.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's not giving to you as if you're a girlfriend. He's giving to you as if you're a date or a duty date.
Right. Yeah, except that we do have a lot of chemistry. But yes, no, you're right. So, okay. So I will not do things like I haven't done it, but I was considering making him dinner, you know, but I'm not going to.
That's you terminating the courtship into a non-documented commitment.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to do that. Thank you. You made it so clear.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I know. I love you, Dr. Pat. Thank you so much.
Thanks, caller.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
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 So, Dr. Allen,
yes?
I'm just curious.
What?
You know, say for example, she was talking about inviting him to dinner, but say for instance, you were having a holiday party. You could invite him to that. It would be
Absolutely.
And then we have another lady here online.
And social event.
She's asking this question. She says, I have made some homemade things for Christmas. I've jarred jams and jellies and various other items. This man has been dating me for about 4 weeks. And I feel that my homemade gifts are really intimate. I keep them for
They're ritual gifts. They're birthday presents, Christmas presents, Hanukkah presents. I have no problem with people doing ritual card giving, birthdays, you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem with gift giving at ritual times, like Valentine's Day, Christmas, Hanukkah.
Okay, yeah. And so she says, if a gift seems very intimate to you when you give it to somebody, do you think that has a connotation? So that's what you were saying. I mean, what she's saying is, I guess she makes these things from scratch and homemade. And to her, she gives them only to her closest friends and family. So
I know, but she gives them to them based on a ritual holiday.
Right. I think that her confusion was because the gifts are so...
I'll tell you something. You win 2 tickets to go to the theater. You call him up and say, I just won a couple of tickets. Would you kindly escort me?
Oh, definitely. Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, Dr. Allen, we are running out of time. What have you got to say to us before we go? I know it was quick. Wasn't that quick?
Yeah, really.
What have you got to say?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Exactly. Everybody, make sure you follow us on Facebook and tweet with us. We love that. Go to our website, www.drpatallen.com, and sign up for our newsletter. Remember, we'll send you a note. You'll have to click the link to make sure that you've actually opted in. That way you won't get spammed and we won't get accused of it. And also, if you're interested in the classes, and all of the classes are incredibly interesting, you'll need to go to wantistore.com. Check it out. You can sign up right there. You can see what's available. You can see what's upcoming. Take care, everybody. Be safe.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.